We turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 15 this evening for our sermon text. This is a text that I preached about a year and a half ago among some other scriptures to comfort us, and I'd like to return to it this evening for where we are in the season of life of our church. Romans 12, verse 15, Romanos 12, verse 15, by the way, our verse inscribed in our rings is Romans 12, verse 2. That was from Fernanda's request, and so that's the verse that's in our rings. Romans 12, verse 15 is our text this evening. Hear the word of God. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Notice this is not a suggestion, this is a command. And this is the context of, as Paul's getting done with a lot of important theology, he's starting to get into some practical application now. These things being done for us, here's what we are to do for one another. If we are truly in union with Christ together, we're truly one body, then we feel one another's feelings. And we take care of one another's needs. We respond accordingly to the body as part of the body. So I think I have used the illustration of the weeping. If there's pain in the body, the body feels it. The hand comes over. The body slows down to take care of that pain in another part of the body. But I can't help but think of another illustration. If there is a tickle spot, you might say, in the body, and the hand tickles the tickle spot, the whole body, right? At least especially for some of us, especially a particular daughter of my family. And so there's also the happiness of the body responding as a whole. Paul's calling us to act like the body in this verse tonight. And I want to focus on the rejoicing aspect of that tonight. A month or so ago, we had a session meeting. Well, we were praying as a session, as the elders on the side room here, preparing for the morning worship. And I explained to the elders at that time about what I shared with you this morning, that Abraham was having a really hard time missing a mother, having observed a mother in the home, and he was weeping hard. And I mentioned how Rachel had had that experience a few months before. And Elder Renner had a beautiful response, and he might not want me to tell you, but I'm going to, because it's a beautiful Christ-like witness. He prayed for us as we each took turns praying for the service, and as he prayed for Abraham, he couldn't talk for a moment. He wept deeply. He simply felt, he had compassion, he cared about how Abraham was hurting so bad. And at that time, we did not have any idea of if there would be a mother yet. We were really close to finding out, but at that moment, we did not know. He wept hard, he struggled to collect and contain himself before he exited to be with you in the sanctuary. And he said he was sorry. And we said, don't say you're sorry. This is Christ-like love. This is Romans 12, 15, the latter part. Weep with them that weep. This is being a true companion. That was the message that I preached on this text about a year and a half ago. In our loss of Jennifer, the message was be companions. And at that time, we were focusing on weeping with one another, experiencing one another's sorrow as part of the body. The sermon series called Jennifer Van Leuven on our website after her funeral. It was me asking for help. It was me asking for comfort. It was me training us. The message was we need it earlier was it's okay to seek out comfort, and we see that the comfort comes from having our companions in the church. And if we don't get it from one another, we will go elsewhere for it where we should not. And thankfully, you responded to the call, being true companions this last year and a half, and I know it has not been easy. But that's what it is to be a Christian. That's what it is to be in Christ. We share each other's stormy nights. But not only that, we transition to the other part of the verse today. We share one another's sunny days. Even the rain this weekend didn't last through the day. The Lord gave us a beautiful sunny day. And we were here a little early, so we went up to Alta View Drive and showed Fernanda the amazing view on Alta View Drive of San Diego and Mexico. I said, "That's Mexico over there." And, "Serio? Yeah, that's Mexico." "That's close." That's exactly what Jennifer said when we first got, "Are you serious?" That we are close. And very different experience when you're not from here. It's like, wow. And just all beautiful. I said, "Wait till you see the lights of Tijuana at night." And there's Point Loma. There's downtown San Diego. We were sharing this together and rejoicing and enjoying it together. That's the idea. That's where we're headed, beloved. Sharing not only the stormy nights, but the sunny days is very much what true Christianity in Christ is all about. And if we have our doctrine correct and our practice correct, this is what it should look like. And this is what it has looked like, beloved. And now it needs to look like rejoicing with them that do rejoice. These things, as I said in that sermon before, they often overlap. Some of us have rejoicings, while others have sorrows, and we do both. We who are sorrowing, don't expect those who have rejoicing not to rejoice. We rejoice with them. At that time, we rejoiced over the 50th anniversary, I believe, of the Renners, and we rejoiced over the birth of David Noah, who was indeed our and is our comfort. But we also had great sorrow together. Here, I'm delighted to say, it looks like we have a little extra rejoicing to have together as we continue to be mindful of one another's difficulties. Paul says in our text that Christians must personally join in with one another's moments. Christians must personally join in with one another's moments of emotional lows and, beloved, emotional highs. That's where we're going now. Oh, there's an ebb and flow of that in any life of people and family of a church. But, beloved, the tide is coming in. It's high tide now. Let's get on that ship and enjoy sailing around the bay together, shall we? Let's take it while we have it. The message, again, for that sermon on Romans 12:15 before was, be companions. And I thank you, beloved, for being our companions in our great, paralyzing at times, grief, the last year and a half. Companions. I reminded you then that when John speaks to the churches of Asia, writing in captivity, writing in the island separated by the ocean, which explains the idea, the imagery of the vision of no more sea. Right? The no more separation. He's separated from the loved ones. But he writes to them. He says, we are companions in the tribulation. And that word for companion means partaker, partner, participant. Have that in mind as you partake of the Lord's Supper tonight. You partake, you participate. That's what it is to be a companion. You partake in one another's sorrow and you partake in one another's joys. We thought of Malachi 2, verse 14 at the time. She, thy companion, and the wife of thy covenant. How glorious to revisit that verse now. She, thy companion, and the wife of thy covenant. You see, companions participate together. Companions are physically present and emotionally engaged, mutually supportive. And so have you been. You have participated as our companions. You have participated in our tragic loss. That is, you have wept with us. He says in the verse here, weep with them that weep. Literally, you could translate it as bewail. Picture beating the breasts, moaning, groaning, crying. I've seen that in many of you. I saw that as you were over Jennifer's bed in the emergency room, trying to help her survive, watching her die. Some of you, many of you, being over her deathbed the night before in our home. I've seen you. Some of you couldn't hardly speak. You were crying and sobbing so hard with us. It was very meaningful for us. You didn't let us go through that alone. You participated in our sorrow. You bewailed with us. You participated with us in our grief. Just like Jesus, Elder Renner. Jesus wept at the gravesite of Lazarus. Before raising him, he knew he would raise him from the dead. And yet, Jesus wept and he did not apologize. After all, what did the witnesses say about it? Look how much he loves them. Look how much, I saw how much you love my son, your grandson, by weeping for him and with him and me. So, beloved, all of you have obeyed God's commands, Paul's commands here, and in Galatians 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ, we know? Submitting to one another, loving one another is fulfilling the law, bearing one another's burdens. And so you have. You strove to save Jennifer. So many of you were working so hard to help us try to save her. You lost Jennifer too. You have missed Jennifer too. It was not just us. You participated in our pain because you loved her and you showed how you loved her. But now, beloved, you participate in our gain. She's doing fine in heaven. We have suffered together our loss of this removing of part of our body. Now, you must participate in our joyous addition. You don't have the option. This is a command. Glad to see you smiling, but it is a command. You have participated in our tragic loss. Marvelously, we have grown together in learning to live out this companionship, weeping with them that weep. Now, beloved, you must participate in our joyous addition. God has sent us the great gift of Fernanda da Rosa. So now we apply the next part of our text, being companions. We have wept together. Now we are commanded to rejoice together. I think you saw this morning. I think you see now. I think you see it in my family. We are really happy. We are rejoicing. And you are commanded to participate. Okay? You are commanded to be happy with us. It is not an option. It is a command. The Greek for rejoice. We are to rejoice with them that do rejoice. Oh, beloved, we do rejoice. And so you are to rejoice with we who do rejoice. The word in the Greek is be glad. Be glad. Don't be sad. Don't be sad. Be glad now. I don't think I shared with all of you. I did share with Fernanda, and I know the elders and my children. I was so glad for how our relationship was developing, but there was a moment where I was praying over the trip to Boston. I was really confident of what was going to be happening, and I cried on my face on the floor for a while. I bewailed. I grieved. I went through more guilt. because I realized this was the one. And I had to go through the next stage of letting go of Jennifer. Not, I think, a stage that can happen until you know it's the one. And this, I'm rejoicing and I'm weeping. I'm driving with Fernando and the children now, rejoicing while I look and I see where mommy is buried on 805. I needed to transition. So I was grieving, but because I knew she was the one and I've been released of that grief, that could only happen then. I've been able to let go and say goodbye in a new way and trust the Lord has Jennifer where he wants her, and she's doing better than we are until we join her. I'm ready to rejoice. We're called to be glad. You are called to be glad. You are released of your sorrow. You are released of your longing for Jennifer. You are called upon now to hold on to Fernando with us and rejoice. You are called now to personally participate in our chuckles, in our laughter. We've done it with the tears. Now it's time to laugh and to participate in the tears, and now to participate in the laughter and the silliness. This is the greatest means of companionship. I can't stop thinking about Debbie Ragland's tears before I was about to go to Boston on a Wednesday night. She had all these tears because she's always crying for us. She's so sweet and she's so sensitive. She's like, please stop talking about me. I'm sorry, I have to bless you. She's going to start crying too. But she so loved Jennifer. She so loves my children. She so loves me. And she's always watching out for me. And I have to look her in the eye and tell her I'm okay when she asks. Sometimes I change my behavior so I can answer honestly in the affirmative. And she's crying tears as we're talking about Fernanda. We can't shut up. I text Fernanda later. I'm sorry it's so late your time. I couldn't stop talking about you. And everybody wants to know. And they're rejoicing. And Bruce, they were so happy. Their faces looked different. But there were still tears. There were tears now of joy. And I was so glad to see them in her eyes, because I've seen so many tears of pain. And now she can share in the rejoicing and the tears of joy with us. All the excitement of everyone getting the updates, the way you responded, I was a little nervous, you know. This is vast, you know. And who is this lady in Boston? Brazil? What? You know? And you've all been so happy because you understand, you've been through it with us. You've been through the search for us. And I'm going to talk about that in some Proverbs in a sermon to come when we're back later from honeymoon. You knew and helped us recognize. You knew what to look for. You've been looking with us. You've been suffering through it. And you were there and you could see she's the one. So you're rejoicing and you couldn't wait to get all the updates. And I'd see you and the girls updating you and you'd be all excited and happy for us. That was encouraging for us. That gave us courage and strength to go for it. Because you can imagine there are voices in our heads, maybe just imagine. And to have your strength and encouragement, you're rejoicing with us over this. Ruby, we have found, encouraged us to go through the expense of getting it. Just last Lord's Day this evening, Fernanda and I were calling you with a video call with Rachel on her phone, and there you all were gathering together and couldn't really hear us, and we were so happy to see you. We couldn't wait to get back. And you were so sweet, because I know you couldn't hear a thing we were saying, but it was exciting. And now here we are. Here she is. And praise the Lord, she's not going back. You have encouraged us about all the writing going back and forth. The last several weeks, as I've told Fernanda, I've told others, we have put more time into figuring out whether we are equally yoked than many people that I have observed who are married for a long time, including in churches. I have had very little sleep, and she has had very little sleep. We are tired because we've been putting in the work, one time a four-hour Bible study to explore these things with marriage. That's one of many, many things. And one of the main things we did, I think we went to church at least four times together in less than a week in Boston. Here we are now, it's putting Christ first, and he's rewarding us. We're seeking the church. We're seeking the blessings of her mother and her family. We're seeking the blessings of you. And it's all just very exciting together. But one of the things that you encouraged me, ladies, especially Debbie Raglan again, was your study through the women of the Reformation. And anticipating Boston and knowing how much I was writing and how much I'm never sleeping because I'm trying to find a wife for my children, and I think I might have found her. And she is worthy of the effort and attention if I want to get her, right? have her give herself to me, you understand? And Debbie said, yeah, it's you know, we're reading about Anna Bullinger, and Heinrich Bullinger just wrote her like 15-page letters and waited for her. And just lots and lots of writing. You might recall John Owen's letter he wrote with all these reasons like appeared in. Reason number one, subpoint 10, you know, to his future wife about why we should get married. A proposition. Wasn't very romantic, but it was very serious. You could tell the guy would take the marriage seriously. And I love her answer. It was something like, thank you. I don't understand your Latin. Would you please speak to me in English in the future? And something like, I'll be happy to marry you if you can agree that sometimes you will change the nappies, the diapers. You know, that, and you know, don't always get so serious and agree to take your nose out of your book sometimes and be with the family, you know. So a good godly woman that knew how to say, all right, give me your nose and to look over here for a minute. But you know, this, you've encouraged me to be thinking, okay, what I'm doing is not crazy. It's right. It's good. You've been there with me. You haven't looked at me like I'm nuts. You've encouraged me, and I needed that because I'm human and I'm tired and I'm sad. And I've been getting hurt a lot and facing rejection and or having to decide this isn't what I thought. And to have your constant participating and encouragement and rejoicing in the possibility that is now coming to fruition, you are very much a part of Fernanda being here with us today. You have very much opportunity to rejoice. And don't worry, Fernanda, eventually I'll get to other topics. But right now, it's my people need to rejoice over Fernanda. We had a lot of sermons sorrowing over Jennifer. It is time to rejoice for a while, if you will indulge us a little while more. You encouraged me with these stories of it doesn't have to take a long time to be engaged and married. Now, Fernanda and I had studied that in the scriptures. I think it's almost the main precedent. It's also the precedent of Calvin and Idelet and many others. It used to be marriage was about survival. We need help to survive. Also love, but meeting one another's needs. And we needed help. But I was so blessed. Also, Debbie Raglan was encouraging me. Her parents, I think, after 2 weeks, they were engaged. And I think within like a month, they were married. And they were married for 51 years. And then when I asked, I don't do anything without approval. I asked for approval to pursue Fernanda from the elders. I spend long meetings analyzing everything and lots of emails. Okay, here's what do you think? Am I doing all right? And so when Fernanda surprised me and said, I'll marry you tomorrow on the plane to San Diego, I said, I just might do that. You know. But I said, but I have to talk to the elders. I want to know what they think. I want to make sure they approve, and because I will do it. You know, the kids already gave me approval before I left Boston. And so I'm talking to the elders. I'm saying, hey, we're thinking soon. Are you okay with that? I represent the church. I represent my family. I don't want to do anything. And we sought her mother's blessing on the timing as well. And the elders were big thumbs up. I remember Elder Redder on the phone was like, I love it! I love it! Woohoo! You know? And again, because you're rejoicing with us, you understand our need, and you're so happy for us that we can be happy again. And you get to share in that happiness with the First Lady of the Church here again. And right after I called Elder Renner to get approval, I had just gotten approval from Elder Maxwell. We were dropping off, I think we were setting up the bed in their spare room with Fernanda. I said, can I call you? Can I talk to you privately? And, okay, so here's the thing. It's going really good and really fast. I think I want to marry her Friday. What do you think? You know, sounds good to me. All right, I'm going to call Elder Renner, see if he approves. You know? And then after he approved, I get a text right away, and they share their story of Linda's parents, married on their third date, if I understand correctly, and were married 59 years. So once again, you are encouraging me, you are giving me things to help me and show your support and your joy for us. You are doing what Paul is saying here tonight. And it doesn't mean you may not want to say, brother, can I talk to you? I'm not sure. I mean, if there was a place for, you know, maybe I wonder about this, but you know, we've been talking, we've been sharing, and you know, and you have helped me to dive in with joy and courage. Together, we now have this testimony, beloved. Together, we now have this testimony. What you and I just sang together tonight, and considered also in the morning part of it, Psalm 126. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Joy cometh in the morning, and those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Doubtless, they will come again rejoicing with a harvest filling up their arms. So, beloved, any tears that you may shed now, any tears you may shed at the wedding must, and this is the command, must be those of relief and happy release and thanksgiving. Like last Tuesday at the Renner's house in the morning. They picked us up from the airport, dropped Fernanda off. Somehow I tore myself away from the Renner's house, got back down to Chula Vista, got the children up. We drive back to meet Fernanda for the first time. And as they were having not an introduction, but truly a family reunion, mother had come home. It was amazing. I had a little bit of video clips of it. They just rejoiced. They just had held one another. She was stroking their faces and kissing them. They were hugging and kissing her. And they just lingered. And I stood next to Elder Renner, and I could hear him physically responding. He was struggling not to completely lose it. But they were not tears of sorrow. I was doing the same thing. We were both about to blubber. You know. And I told my pastor friend back home, Pastor Dr. Stuyvesant, I said it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. The children and Fernanda coming together. And we had all that sorrow that we had suffered together. We were so happy to see the children have a mother and to see Fernanda have children she has so longed for, to see this natural love. We were so happy. We were crying, but they were happy tears. This is the text. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. He could not physically contain himself for the joy that he felt for our joy. This is the text. It was the same today after we interviewed Fernanda to be able to take of the Lord's Supper this evening after our service. I asked Elder Renner to pray for us. And he started to pray, and he couldn't speak, because he was so overwhelmed with joy and thanksgiving and thanking God when he finally got some words, thanking God for giving us all Fernanda. We all need her. We all rejoice in her being here. She's going to have to get used to this praise, but I'll get back to Numbers and Matthew in a little while. But we all rejoice together. And he wept deeply, and we held his hand, and afterwards tried to stop him from saying he was sorry. No, don't say that. And we just held him, and his eyes and cheeks were wet. And we hugged him, and I snuck in a few holy kisses because he couldn't run from that. And Fernanda was quick to come over and embrace and stroke his face, you see, because that's who she is. And he said, "Thank you, Fernanda, for coming here to us." So it was deep tears, but it was tears of rejoicing, relief, finally. Thank you, God. We know it's the right one. We know it's the woman we can entrust my children to and our church to, and we rejoice. But there was other fun things to observe about him in this rejoicing together. When we came down the escalator, he was there, no surprise, with a nice sign, "Fernanda and Grant, welcome." And he wasn't just holding it there like the limousine men, you know, very stoic, you know. He was like those guys out there advertising for a nearby store, you know, the flip, woo! You know, because he was so happy for the family reunion. And then and then when we got home, he had a sign on her door, a chocolate bar on her pillow, and just he was so happy. He was just so happy. He was rejoicing with our joy. This is the text. He couldn't wait that long, though. He calls me the Lord's Day. We're in Boston. We're having dinner with the children's uncle and aunt, and a lovely time. I'm like, "Why is Elder Renner calling me right now?" And he says, "I just couldn't wait. I had to hear your voice." And "I just can't wait to meet Fernanda. I can hardly stand it." You know? Like, you are so foo-foo. That's Portuguese for cute. Okay. And it was sweet. I'm like, "Yeah, this is great. We are rejoicing together. This is family. This is the family of God. We are uninhibited, not only in our weeping together, but in our rejoicing together." He and you all have a special opportunity to be companions with us now in rejoicing. Because of your being special companions with us through all of our suffering, we have history together. We go deep together. It's been personal. And so it can be now. No one will be able to celebrate with us on Friday like you, beloved. No one will have the special opportunity of rejoicing that you will have because of what you have suffered with us in weeping. That's like I told my friend, a pastor who knew Jennifer, and he was out here for his denomination up in Redlands, and he went out of his way before he had to go to the airplane to come down halfway, meet me in Temecula, just to minister to me. He's been really there for me. While many surprisingly haven't in such a calling that I would have thought. And as we were talking at the restaurant, I just broke down. I just broke down. I couldn't stop crying. I thought I could make it through the. And he says, "It's okay. I'm here for this. I want to minister to you." And I said to him, as I sought his counsel with many other pastors through this whole process of ups and downs of trying to find her, I said, "Brother, one day I will be rejoicing. And you will have the opportunity to rejoice with me in a special way because you have been here weeping with me in a special way that many won't or seem to not be willing." And so when I let him know about a trip to Boston, and when he heard about the wedding, I think it was from the Philippines, he sent me a text of great rejoicing. Wants to know all about it. Said, "It's going to take a book. I'm going to need to wait till later. I'll get back to you." But thank you for your rejoicing. And it's fun for me to be able to rejoice with these and you who have particularly wept with us. It's so nice to be able to turn to you now and rejoice with you. We were like, "I know." And now we're, "I know." And I can rejoice with you in a way that is deeper and more special than I can with any. It's just a special rejoicing that we can have together. And this is the text. Today is the day, because of your intimate care and compassion, today is the day that joy has come in the morning. You wept with us, now you may and you must rejoice with us. You stuck it out, now you may sing and shout. We have done plenty of weeping together, my dearly beloved brethren. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your loyalty. Thank you for your care. Not only to try to save Jennifer, but to help me and my children survive to this day. Now we must have plenty of singing. I will thank you ahead for your passion now, and for your laughter with us, and for your happiness with us. Pastor's orders. Beloved, you endured many sermons, making it through suffering and sorrow before and through and following the funeral of the church's first lady, Jennifer. Now, you will have to endure many sermons of growing in gladness and joy and excited anticipation before, through, and yes, following a wedding with our new First Lady, Fernanda. Dearly beloved, we are having a wedding this Friday. We are not going to change the date again. Show up. God has sent us a precious ruby, so hard to find. More on that in sermons to come. But when you find a ruby, you act like you found a ruby. You act what you need to do to get the ruby, and you act like you should act when you got a ruby. Look at this ruby. So this Lord's Day, this Friday, we will act appropriately and accordingly as we see this ruby come down the aisle, and we will rejoice. It is the time and season, beloved, for us for laughter. It may be raining in San Diego at the moment, and I understand perhaps near the wedding again, but we will be found full of sunshine. Thank you for your dear, precious Christian companionship through the last year and a half of sorrow. Now I request your dear, precious Christian companionship into our future. That includes fun and laughter, and soon and lots of it. Trust me, I've only been around her 2 weeks, and there's a lot of it. Be grateful. Be happy. Smile. Let's practice. Smile. There you go. Fernanda da Rosa and Grant Van Leuven and our children and our families cordially invite you to our wedding ceremony this Friday, March 16th, in the 2018th year of our Lord. Mandatory attendance. Mandatory fun. Mandatory happiness. Mandatory celebration. This is the text. Thus saith the Lord, dearly beloved, let us rejoice together. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do rejoice before you now together as companions, as brethren who have wept as we have wept and now rejoice as we rejoice. We thank you for this season of laughter and life. And we pray that it would be seen, this abundant life of peace and joy in the hope of the resurrection that is our glory, that will not disappoint us. We pray, Lord, that it will be seen in this wedding. All the redeeming of not only our sorrows, but Fernanda's sorrows so many years. that it will be great rejoicing for her, for her mother, for our families, for our friends who have been weeping with us. May we all rejoice together. May we have this testimony. The Lord hath done it, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And before our eyes, may we see the image of marriage to be what it is, the bride and the husband, the church and Christ. Lord, may it be a testimony of the mystery of what Paul speaks of in Ephesians 5. And may you remind us who we are and who our husband is, who our Lord and Master is. May we submit to you as a good wife, as a happy wife. May we enjoy your care of us as a good and holy, strong, courageous husband. And may we give a beautiful witness in all of our marriages and our families and in this church of Jesus Christ and his coming for his bride on the last great day. And may you add to this church daily such as should be saved. And prepare us all as a chaste virgin to meet you. Prepare us all to be without spot or wrinkle to meet you. And let us prepare to enjoy that great marriage supper of the Lamb forever and ever when you will feast and drink with us again, face to face. We close praying as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.